Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is hour number three of Cashing Out right here on VSiN, the sports betting network. We've got ourselves a tremendous hour coming up as we're going to be joined in 15 minutes by one of our good friends, Kobe Dant. He does a tremendous job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're going to be chatting with him about what he all likes on the college baseball front as Super Regionals are getting started. And if you took a look at the regionals, what we saw last week in college baseball, a lot of rambunctiousness, a lot of crazy. That's what we love about college baseball. And it's one of the few tournaments where a four seed can actually win it all. We saw that with Fresno State way back in the day. So we're going to be talking with Kobe, what he all likes on the card. We're going to be taking a look at a lot of baseball this hour because we do have all 30 teams in action. So we're going to be breaking that down. But first things first, so lead things off. We have to take a look back at what we saw on Thursday in terms of the NBA, and the NBA Finals first game was another wild one. The Indiana Pacers, they just continue to do this time and time again. They get down early. They were down for pretty much the entirety of the game. They led for 0.3 seconds in this game. They win by a count of 111-110. This is pretty much a four straight series in which they've been able to have one of these just ridiculous comebacks. In this one, they were down double figures with less than 3 minutes remaining. Not quite as dramatic as what we saw against the New York Knicks. That's one that's going to be living for just all time in general. But still, this was a very, very massive comeback. And there are a lot of thoughts after the game on this one, as I know that Rick Carlisle, he's trying to be able to keep this into perspective. I know that he spoke upon the team's win, and I keep mentioning it. Rick Carlisle, I think, is a big X factor in this series. Let's hear what he had to say after this game one win.
Just had to hang in. The first half was rough. 19 turnovers. The good thing was it was only 9 points. And so, you know, we were within reach of still being in the game. I think we won the third quarter by 3, which was progress. And then, you know, they went up 15. And we just said, hey, let's just keep chipping away at the rock, you know. I keep pounding the rock, you know, and just chip away and hang in. And we've had a lot of experience in these kinds of games, and our guys have a real good feel for what it's all about, giving ourselves a chance. And we got fortunate, but made plays.
And he's speaking exactly why I've been taking a look at a lot of in-game betting here in the postseason, because with the Indiana Pacers, you saw it to a lesser extent with the New York Knicks in that previous series, just a lot of these teams have been able to provide a lot of value when they've gotten down big in these games. And I think that Mark Dagnow, he very much knows this as well, because he's on the losing end of this. Let's hear what he had to say after this game one loss, talking about the way that the Indiana Pacers, they just keep coming.
Credit them, you know, for not only tonight, but their run. They've had so many games like that that have seemed improbable, and they just play with a great spirit. They keep coming. They keep playing. They made plays. They made shots. So they deserve a win by a point. We got to learn from it. There's obviously a lot of things we can clean up, but credit them. They went and got that game.
And we're going to see how the OKC Thunder are going to be able to respond in game number two. That is going to be going down on Sunday. So you're going to be having two full days off in between game number one and game number two. So you're going to have plenty of time to be able to bet this. And we have been seeing this number move around as the night has went along. This actually opened up at DraftKings with the OKC Thunder, a 9.5-point favorite, total of 225.5. And over the past few hours, we've been seeing quite a bit of movement here. Now, it's anywhere between 227 to 228 in terms of this total for the Pacers, between 11 to 11.5-point underdogs. And I've been live betting pretty much throughout the entirety of the postseason. Haven't taken a lot pregame. I actually did take a shot on the under here when I was able to get a 230.5 for game one. So that one was able to pan out. After seeing what we saw in game number one, I do think that the OKC Thunder, for one, they're going to be able to heat up with their overall shooting. They shot less than 40% overall from the floor. The three-point shooting honestly wasn't too bad. They shot 35.7% as a collective against the Indiana Pacers. I recognize that for the Pacers, it's not necessarily the hottest team in terms of being able to lock you down from three-point range, but for the Pacers, you have to believe that they aren't going to lose the turnover battle by 18 like they did here in game number one. And even with losing the turnover battle by 18 in game one, they still win this game outright. And now they're 11 to 11.5-point underdogs. Is there something to be said about the zigzag theory? Sure, there certainly is. But at the same time, even with having the zigzag theory out there, even with having all that you've got, I just have to take a look at 11-11.5 in this sort of a series with the way that the Indiana Pacers all postseason long have played. And this is just an extreme number. Like, say what you will about the OKC Thunder having these absolutely amazing metrics, having just this historic season in general. 11-11.5 points is just way too many points to be laying in with the OKC Thunder, in my opinion. Heck, going into it, if I had to bet anything prior to the game, I was going to take the points with the Pacers. I was able to find a nice in-game opportunity. I was able to cash in pretty much any number that you took in-game with the Pacers. You're able to get there on that, but I do think that this is the sort of just game and series in general where you take a look at the team that gets down early, you live bet them, and I do think that with the Indiana Pacers, you're probably going to be able to get them for a relatively solid number in game, but I just don't know if this number gets past like an 11.5 during the game as well. I do think that the Pacers, they just continue to be able to fight. I do think that Rick Carlisle, with the way that he's able to make his adjustments, is going to be able to lend you some good value there, as it is cashing out right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And certainly there's a lot of value with regards to the NBA Finals, but there's always a lot of value with regards to football. And here at VSiN, we know this very, very well. And if you become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, you're able to get a full year for just $199. Plus, you get to pre-order the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. It's a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting all the action, and making sharp NFL plays. Sign up now and get instant access with everything that we do here at the network. A daily best bet email with all of our plays from the VSiN shows and guests. Real in-depth splits from DraftKings and Circa. 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app. Plus, our upcoming 2025-26 NFL betting guide. That's going to be coming out in about 4 weeks, July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and utilize the promo code BOOK. B-O-O-K. That saves you $41, and that gets you the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. So VSIN.com/subscribe, promo code to book, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, right here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if we do dive in on some baseball that we got on this Friday? Now, I will say you've got quite a few games are off the board right now, like the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays, which is actually your day game. That's off the board because for the Miami Marlins, it should be Edward Cabrera. For some reason, it's not necessarily confirmed that it's going to be Edward Cabrera, so that's a little bit of an issue. You've right now got in that Blue Jays versus the Minnesota Twins, just no earthly idea who the Blue Jays are going to be throwing out there. They've got a lot of bullpen games, and they've been mixing and matching a lot of pitchers in general for the Athletics. They just have not been naming their starters all week long. Like, they've had a lot of openers that have come in, they've had a lot of mixing and matching, but I don't know who's going to be pitching for them, so that makes things a little bit difficult, but you do have yourself one of the oldest rivalries in all of baseball. It's the Red Sox and the New York Yankees. This is 963-964 on the card with old Walker Buehler on the bump for Boston, and Will Warren goes for the New York Yankees. Yankees are very sizable favorites. They open up in some places as high as minus 165. Now this is as low as minus 165. I'm starting to see minus 180 pop up there. For the Red Sox, you're going to be getting that in the neighborhood about plus 150, plus 155. Total on this game is 9. And for Buehler and company, I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the Red Sox on the money line. Recognize that things have been less than tremendous ever since Alex Bregman went on the injured list, but you still have Rafael Devers along with Wilder Abreu giving you 12-plus home runs. With Devers, he's been able to give you north of 4 on our base. And for the New York Yankees, you have to have a lot of pause with this team moving forward. With the fact that Luke Weaver is currently on the injured list, that was a rock-solid closer, a big reason why the New York Yankees were able to scrape out some of those closer wins. And now you're relying upon guys like a Yuri De Los Santos, who's relatively solid in the bullpen. He's been able to give you about a 3 ERA. Jonathan Loaisiga is actually a guy that I've always been relatively bullish on, but I mean, Tim Hill, he's been able to have himself a nice the last few weeks. I don't necessarily have a ton of faith in him. Ian Hamilton has been all over the place for the team, and Devin Williams is now in at the closer's role. And Devin Williams has been awful this year. Like, I'm someone who's a Milwaukee Brewers fan. I remember what he did last year against the New York Mets, so that was not a tremendous movie. I remember what you did last summer. I guess you could say that about Devin Williams when things were actually good for him, and now, well, they're not so good for him. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic for the Yankees moving forward. And for the Red Sox, the bullpen, honestly, it's not been too bad. Like, you've had Brandon Bernardino or Aroldis Chapman supply with a sub-2 ERA. Now, just in watching Aroldis Chapman throughout his career, just when you start to trust him is when he's going to let you down. But you know what? He's been able to give you some good innings. And for Buehler, he's posting up a little bit north of a 4 ERA, feeling up in his end that neighborhood about a 4.5. He has been giving up a little bit more hard contact than what you'd like, but he has shown at times some flashes of the old Walker Buehler. Now, at times he has shown flashes of never coming back to being that old version of Walker Buehler. But you know what? I think that he's going to be able to give you a relatively solid start. And Will Warren, he just gives up quite a bit of, shall we say, doubles power. Like, he's not giving up necessarily the home runs right now. He's giving up only about one home run per nine innings, and to his credit, about 12 strikeouts per nine innings. He's just not consistent. This is technically his rookie year, even though he was able to get a few starts and a little bit of a lie there at the big league level last season, but just hasn't been able to necessarily put it together and give you just a good consistent start after a good consistent start coming off of getting banged around in his last start. So you've had your issues there, and for this New York Yankees team, no issues with regards to lineup. When you got a guy by the name of Aaron Judge who's giving you north of 480 on base and north of 20 home runs, you know that you're living life large there. And Jazz Chisholm, he's someone that is coming back in the lineup. He's able to give you some good power. Wasn't necessarily hitting for average at the beginning part of the season, but Trent Grisham, 13 bombs. Ben Rice, 12-plus home runs. He's been able to do a nice job finding a way on base, but I do think that for the Boston Red Sox, some of these guys being able to rise up like a Sadane Rafaela has had himself a nice week or two. That's been able to help them out. Now you need Christian Campbell to be able to pick it up as well, as he had a nice start to the season, and the rookie has really been falling on tough times, I think is the best way of being able to put it. But you've had some of these guys in the Boston Red Sox lineup be able to do a nice job, be able to mix and match. And for this New York Yankees team, just not necessarily a ton of faith in that bullpen. Right now I'm seeing that total of 9. I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the over. And for the Red Sox, plus 147 or higher was my buy point on their money line. Mostly seeing that at about a plus 150. So in the oldest rivalry out there in baseball, we're taking the money line of the Red Sox and we're taking the over. And coming up next, we go from pro to the college ranks as we've got Kobe Dan, who does great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Join me on the flip side on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Kobe Dant aboard. He does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He hosts the show, The College Experience, where they talk about all college sports, whether that be college football, college basketball, college baseball. I don't think that they've gotten into college roller derby, but that ever becomes a sport, they'll have you covered there. And Kobe, it's always great to get you aboard. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. And I gotta figure out college roller derby. That seems, my brain is breaking that down right now, but I think there'd be some talent in the SEC.
Absolutely. And I actually found out that college dodgeball is something big as well. And apparently Ohio is like some powerhouse for college dodgeball. So I thought that that was very interesting. And speaking of powerhouses, with regards to college baseball, some of these teams are a little bit different. And obviously the SEC has been a power as well. But how do you take a look at what we're going to be getting in these super regionals? One where we've had a few teams that we expected to be there, well, not be there, including UTSA being able to make the run that they've been able to.
Unbelievable, by the way. I mean, the fact that they get paired up with Texas, who, you know, brings in, you know, just an A+ manager that had such great success. Chris Del Conte, their AD, just really thriving really with all their sports. But then the fact that they go out and spend a bunch on their roster, and then little old UTSA, the Roadrunners, meeping their way in there. But let me tell you, it was not a gimmick. This was not like a one-time thing. UTSA, look, I'm an East Carolina fan. They reside in the AAC. So coming into the season, it was Tulane and ECU. People thought that those were the two teams that were going to battle it out. UTSA has been good all year. Pat Hallmark squad's been really good. I like their chances. Robert Orlovsky is an unbelievable closer for the Roadrunners. Then you mix that with some of the other guys they got there, and the offense has depth, and they have three good pitchers. So I think UTSA. You look at the line right now for it. I think they're plus 140. I think I saw. I think they're live. I think they're live against UCLA.
Yep, I'm right now seeing between plus 135 and plus 140 on that money line. And before we dive in on any more specific games, there's something that I was taking a look at in the first week of the college baseball tournament was just a bunch of overs, because we were seeing like position players pitching. We were just seeing these bullpens be burnt to toast. How do you take a look at super regionals? Because game number one, game number two, these guys are going to be fresh. But as these super regionals go on longer and longer, the more elimination games you get, the more that these teams just become spent.
Yeah, and relief pitching, but I will say you're probably getting majority of the best pitchers as the field shrinks. But the opening weekend is always one. But I still think there's value in this one too. I would say when you get to Omaha is where things change a little bit. But yeah, I mean there's some great value in the overs and the unders. You take a team like North Carolina, they might have the best pitching in it as a unit in all of college baseball. So that's one like where you look at the they play tomorrow, I think at noon, but the value isn't, you're going to lay 2.5. I actually think if you're going to play the run line, you do lay the 2.5, but I think the better play on the board is under the 10 runs because their pitching is just so good. In Arizona coming all the way out there to Chapel Hill, I think there won't be much scoring from the Wildcats, but yeah, I mean, to your point though, back to your original point, I think there are some teams that in this round, you can still, there's a lot of value on the overs.
Yep, I do think that that's going to be a good look, and I think that they're going to present themselves a little bit more later on during this round because game number one, you got everyone fresh, ready to go. Game number three, game number four, you get into those elimination games. That's when things get funky, as we are getting funky with Kobe Dant, who does such great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Join me on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And how about if you take a look at this one? It's the biggest underdog on the board. Murray State, somehow, some way, being a persevere, get it to this round. They're going to be playing against Duke. Right now, I'm seeing them on the money line at a +260. Is Murray State able to keep this going, or is Duke, who's been a pretty good powerhouse out there in the ACC, going to be restoring some order?
I think Murray State's live, actually. When you think about this, the knock against Murray was they struggled against lefties. Ole Miss threw all lefties pretty much against them, and they're just hot with the bat right now. Duke, and Duke has the pressure. A lot of people didn't think Duke was going to be hosting a super regional. And now all of a sudden they are. So all of a sudden the expectations, I mean, they're sitting there, you know, scratching their heads to fit people from accommodations and everything. But also now you're the team that's supposed to win it. Murray State's kind of playing with house money. And one thing about Duke's pitching has not been great this year. Murray State's offense can score. And I like that matchup when you have kind of, you know, the strength of Duke's got some hot bats. If anything, I like the over in that game too, but I think Murray State's live. I really think they're live in this one, specifically the first game too. Like what'd you say? 260, I think it is. Yep. So give me that all day. I do think though, we were talking overs, the 12.5 is tempting here because both teams pitching, if you're looking at the whole sample size of the whole season, there's some weakness here. So I do think you could over 12.5 is in play. And I think Murray State's live though, because Duke struggles against teams that can hit the ball. And it's like the way they run the bases too, I think Murray's live.
Yep. And with Murray State, it's been such a fun story to take a look at them. So much history with that baseball program to finally be able to get to this stage. It is amazing. And you were talking about the pitching, leaving a little bit of something to be desired in that one. This one should see a little bit of better pitching between Tennessee and Arkansas, two SEC teams doing battle out there in a super regional. And right now with Arkansas, they're about -175 favorites. How do you take a look at Tennessee and Arkansas, two teams that certainly have seen themselves during the regular season and two of the bigger powerhouses that you're going to find in all of college baseball?
Yeah, this might actually be the best matchup, just as far as just team versus team. Just because Tennessee's history, obviously, that, you know, they won it all. And then Arkansas's expectations last year, they dropped the ball. I think a lot of people thought Arkansas was going to do damage, but I think some people, I think Arkansas, you can make the case that they're the most complete team in the field. Zach Root's been killing it for them, coming over from East Carolina, the pitcher there, and just their entire bullpen is like, there. What is the weakness? There is no weakness on Arkansas. And I think the fact that Tennessee does have a little bit of that hangover, I love the fact that that Arkansas, you know, to me, it's a little tricky when you have conference on conference teams because they've seen each other. But I think Arkansas is the better team. I will say out of all the ones though, this is the trickiest one. I don't like laying the 1.5. I think this is a close game for game one here. So I think if you're going to take specifically the run line, I think Tennessee plus 1.5 is the play, but Arkansas, I think, is going to win this thing.
Yep, and this one is a very lopsided one as well, as this is a powerhouse out there in the college baseball world as well. LSU, they aren't going to be sending Paul Skeens to the mound, unfortunately, but they've got a lot of great pitching. They're facing off against a West Virginia team that is a very sizable underdog, plus 230 on West Virginia. That total is 11. How do you take a look at this one with an LSU team that certainly has one of the best rosters in all of college baseball, and it's a West Virginia team that did a nice job of just being able to make it to this stage?
Yeah, the West Virginia story is unbelievable. They've been a fun team, and especially the way they've won. If you've watched, you know, whether it was the Clemson game or the Kentucky game, they're down a lot of that game. And then when you add in the fact that a coaching legend retire, they were not supposed to be this good this year, and they have been. But this is where it stops, I think. I mean, LSU's offense is amazing. I know LSU struggled with Little Rock for whatever reason, but they got just so many good pitchers on this team. And then you mix that with their bats, and then West Virginia doesn't hit a lot of homers. They steal a lot of bases, but you got to get on base. I think LSU, this is one where I actually like laying the 2.5. I think LSU going to put it on them. And this is another one that I think there is some value on the over, strictly because LSU's bats. I think they could get there by themselves potentially. So love LSU in this spot.
And how about if we talk about one more SEC team, as Auburn is finding themselves as more of a mid-sized favorite? You're going to be finding them against Coastal Carolina right around about a minus 145. Total is 11. And I know you were talking about the fact that you were finding yourself at another Carolina, East Carolina. How do you decipher this one between Coastal Carolina and Auburn?
Well, East Carolina lost to Coastal. I'm still a little bitter about that, but there's a lot of similarities with this team, you know, with both these teams in a way. But I think one of the things Coastal has is a pitching advantage, which is rare when you line them up against an SEC opponent. I know Coastal played no one besides ECU. Like they missed out on Florida, is my point. But I think Auburn's pitching has been a question mark all year. Now Auburn's bats, okay, they get live, but I've been really impressed with those three pitchers of Coastal. What Eichhoff and Morrison and Flukey, and the bullpen is good. So I'm going to trust the pitching here. I think Coastal is live in this one. They're great on the bases as well. Bodine can hit the ball. Give me Coastal. I'm fascinated by this matchup though, because they kind of remind me of each other to a certain extent.
Always great to be able to talk some college baseball with Kobe Dandon. We go from College of the Pros next, right here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Was great to be able to talk some college baseball with Kobe Dandon, who does such an amazing job over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, taking a look at all things college sports, as he does the show, The College Experience. So he's our main guy for college basketball, college football. Man is a wealth of knowledge. And I will say this, for the summer months as well, he pretty much deciphers every single football league on the face of planet Earth. Like, I've talked some Canadian football with him, UFL, back when XFL was a thing. If there is football being played, he's finding ways to be able to make money. So always appreciate Kobe for joining me in the last segment. Now let's take a look at what we're getting on the pro baseball front for this Friday, as we do have ourselves a lot of great action. Again, a few games are going to be off the board. So if you're wondering why you're not seeing lines in terms of like the Athletics versus the Baltimore Orioles, things like that, you just have a few TBD pitchers. But how about if we do dive in on a few games that we have yet to, as this one is going to be a fun one between the LA Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals. This is 957-958 on the card, with Justin Robelski on the bump for the Dodgers, and Sonny Gray is going to be going for the Cardinals. The total on this game is 8.5, and it's a rather pick'em game. With the Dodgers, you're going to be finding them as good as a minus 105, as bad as about a minus 112. You've got the St. Louis Cardinals pretty much between about a minus 105 to a minus 110, and that total is 8.5. And with Robelski, is he as good of a pitcher as Sonny Gray? No, this is a very clear mismatch. And this is one of these classic games where if you take a look at the first five versus a full game, you probably want to handicap it differently. Like, I am much more of a full game better because I take a look at these bullpens. I take a look at the way that they sort of use them from time to time, sort of the correlations between, oh, you've got this guy and this day and everything like that. So I'm a big believer in full games. If you're looking at the first five, probably don't want the Dodgers on the money line. And obviously you're going to be playing a little bit more of a juice with regards to the Cardinals in terms of the first five rather than the full game. So that is very much priced in the market. The bookmakers very much know this. And with Robelski, he's posted up an 80 ERA thus far this season. Now, I will say it's not a big sample size. He's only pitched 9 innings, and he got a few starts for the LA Dodgers last season. Not necessarily the world's greatest swing and miss guy. Last year, he was only getting about 6.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. And if you take a look at what he did for Oklahoma City earlier in the season, he was only getting about 8 strikeouts per 9. And I recognize that the PCL is a little bit of a juice ball leg, but really didn't locate very well. That said, I do think that they get to the bullpen very early here. And the long guys for the Dodgers have not been bad. They did have to use up Jack Dreyer on Thursday, so he's going to be out of the fold. But I would not be surprised at all if you see quite a bit of Ben Casparis, who's been able to give you quite a few strikeouts. He's been able to slide this bullpen with a sub-3 ERA. And then for the LA Dodgers, I think that they just slug their way to victory. You've got Shohei Ohtani, who's obviously one of the greatest hitters on the face of planet Earth, giving you 23-plus home runs, doing a nice job, giving you north of a 380 on base. Additionally, you've been able to get some good production out of Andy Páez. Páez has been a nice story for this team, being able to spy a double-figure amount of homers. He's moving the line, hitting about a 290, and for some of these other, shall we say, ancillary guys, they've done a nice job. Be able to step up as well. Teoscar Hernandez is able to give you 10-plus home runs. Will Smith continue to get jiggy with it. He, along with Freddie Freeman, both north of a 430 on base. And then for the St. Louis Cardinals, the biggest issue that I've got with them, they don't necessarily have power hitters. Like, Lars Nootbaar is leading the way with 8 home runs, and they've got plenty of guys who are doing a nice job getting on base, moving the line. Brendan Donovan has been able to hit north of 300, and he's always got big time home and road splits. But Nolan Arenado, Wilson Contreras, just not having the years that you'd expect. And for the LA Dodgers, while they're dealing with so many injuries to that bullpen, you got Blake Treinen currently on the injured list, no Broussard or Gradual. You just take a look down the list, and it's like, man, you've got yourself just so many guys in general that are all sorts of banged up. But that said, you've got a St. Louis Cardinals team that you've got Ryan Helsley, who's a really good closer. I like what Ryan Helsley is able to bring to the table, but I mean, Jojo Romero's been a little bit up and down. Kyle Leahy, Phil Matone, they've been able to give you a sub-3.3 ERA. And for Sonny Gray, he's just not having a, shall we say, up-to-standard Sonny Gray sort of year. He's been allowing a lot more hard contact than what you'd expect. And for Sonny Gray, he, ever since he got to the Cardinals, has been a much better pitcher at home rather than what he's been on the road. Right now, he's been giving you about 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, but 3.65 ERA, closer to 3.26 fielding, depending to his credit, but giving up a little bit more hard contact. He has given up a combined 10 runs over the course of his last 4 starts, so interesting little scenario here. I do think that you get quite a bit of scoring in this game. Somebody told it at 8.6. I do like the over, and with regards to the Dodgers team, I set them as a very slight favorite at a minus 113. If I were to play the first five, I would not be playing the Dodgers on the first five, but I'm banking on them on the full game on this money line, as it is cashing out with myself, Greg Peterson, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And we do have ourselves some very interesting games that are going down here, and there's a few places that are starting to give us an opener with regards to this Detroit Tigers versus Chicago Cubs game. For the Cubs, we didn't know if they were going to be going with Ben Brown or if they were going to be going with some sort of opener for him, but that said, it is going to be indeed Ben Brown. And right now, in terms of the initial opener that I'm seeing in Tigers versus Cubs, the Tigers are minus 196 on the money line. That run line is about a plus 112. The total on this game is 7, and I mean, I recognize that the 7 is juiced up to the over, but even if you got like an unjuiced 7.5, I'd be willing to take a shot on the over. With Tarik Skubal, he's been absolutely tremendous. Like, this guy at home has been posting up a sub-275 ERA. He has been able to give you a strikeout-to-walk ratio, I'm not even kidding here, of 14.14. So for every walk that he gives out, he gets north of 14 strikeouts per 9 innings. Like, guy has been insane. You saw that start he had against the Cleveland Guardians like 2 weeks ago, where he has that complete game, 13 strikeouts, when it was pretty much a standalone game. So, I mean, he's been able to do an amazing job there. But now you do go up against the Chicago Cubs team that they've been a pretty unstoppable force. Like, this is the old unstoppable force versus immovable object game. I would consider Tarik Skubal to be the immovable object and the Cubs to be the unstoppable unstoppable force. But I mean, you've got a quartet of different guys for the Cubs who have been able to give you at least 10 home runs this season. Pico Armstrong just continued to deliver. 16 home runs. Say Suzuki. Oh, I see you being able to get north of 13 home runs. You've been able to have a lot of production out of Dansby Swanson. You've had Kyle Tucker be able to give you north of 380 on base. And these aren't solo shots, because you've got some like a Michael Busch who's able to give you north of a 365 on base. You've had Nico Horner hit a 300 for the seam. And for the Tigers, they themselves have some very rock-solid offense, and they do get to go up against a guy in Ben Brown who his swing and miss stuff is good. Ben Brown has given you 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but when he's been on the road, he's been posting up well north of 5 ERA. Now, a little bit of this number is warped because he had a 2-start stretch where he gave up a combined 14 runs. They then sent in there an opener from in his last appearance, we shall say, against the Cincinnati Reds, 6 scoreless innings. So even though Ben Brown is right now the listed pitcher, you do want to be noting that. If you're someone that you do listed pitcher with regards to your bets, and you have someone like a Ben Brown where they've thrown an opener from time to time and actually seemed to work in his last appearance against the Reds, you do want to be very mindful of that, because you might have your bet voided and you might need to refire an in, something of that nature. But that said, for this Cubs bullpen, all of a sudden they're starting to rise up a little bit as well. Are they on par with the Detroit Tigers? No, because for the Detroit Tigers, number one team in terms of bullpen ERA, really since the All-Star break of the 2024 season, you've got a lot of guys that are able to mix and match, a lot of guys that are able to give you multiple innings, and you've had Chase Lee be able to come up, have a nice little bit of a surge for this team. He, Tommy Canley, Brendan Hennepin, Will Vest, you've got a lot of guys that are giving you a sub-320 ERA. But for the Chicago Cubs, Drew Pomeranz, who was the opener on Thursday, I mean, he's come from out of nowhere along Daniel Palencia, being able to give you a sub-3 ERA. Brad Keller, who it looked like his career was over with the Kansas City Royals, he's been able to do a pretty solid job of being able to give this team some good innings as well. So it's a very interesting scenario here. Skubal should be a very big favorite, and rightfully so. I did set my money line price at a minus 176 with regards to the Detroit Tigers. So I think that we're getting up a little bit too lofty. Now, the initial openers I'm finding are at places in which the juice is not necessarily so great. When you get these dime lines, when it's all said and done, I do think that we're going to find a little bit more value on this number. And if we can get like a plus 117 on that Tigers run line, right now I'm seeing a plus 112. So we need this inch up by about 5 cents. I would be willing to take a shot on laying a run half with the Tigers, because I do think that they get to Brian Brown. I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a higher scoring game. So at the 7, I also do like this total over as well. Again, we are patiently awaiting what we're going to be getting in terms of some of these openers. But that said, there are a few places that are starting to list up this Miami Marlins versus Tampa Bay Rays game. And it's going to be Zach Little going against Edward Cabrera for Cabrera and the Miami Marlins. Plus 142 on that money line for the Rays. Minus 168 on the money line. But if you're looking to lay a run half, you're going to be getting that more in that neighborhood of ball. Plus 122. And the total on this game is 9.5. But if you wanted the 9.5 over, you're going to be able to get a plus number on that. And it's an intriguing spot here with the Rays. If I could get closer to like a plus 125 on this run line, which when it's all said and done, I do think that I'm going to be able to do so, I would be willing to fire in on them, because with Edward Cabrera, he's been able to do a nice job in his last two starts, giving up 0 runs over the course of 5 1/3 innings. Command has always been off with him. That has been the biggest issue, because this guy is able to get strikeouts. He's got really good stuff. He just has no idea where the ball is going to be going. And for this Miami Marlins bullpen, one that has been shaky, to say the least, bottom 16 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. You really don't have a lot of reliable options outside of Ronnie Enriquez, a relatively good long guy for the team. That leaves you a little bit of fish out of water, for lack of a better term, with this Miami Marlins team. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, we know that this team is going to mix and match with their bullpen. You do have a guy in Little who's been giving up, well, a very lot of hard contact, as he's been giving up north of a home run and a half for 9 innings. But having so many of these guys in the bullpen, Pete Fairbanks and company being able to come through, I think is massive for them. So in some form of capacity, going to be looking at the Rays. And if we can get closer to a 9, we'll be looking at the over. And coming up next, I'll give you guys everything that I'm looking at on the card for Friday on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the final segment of the night right here on Cashing Out on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. If you're listening live to Cashing Out, well, you're going to be getting a replay of this fine program. Meanwhile, if you're listening to the replay coming up at 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific time, 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern, It is going to be VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, along with Jensen Lewis, they always do an amazing job on that program, giving you everything that we saw the previous night, turning it forward, and getting you guys some great bets for this Friday. And then you've got a numbers game with Scott Seidenberg, who you see on this fine program. You see him on VSiN Prime Time. Man is a little bit of everywhere. I guess he's becoming our 5-tool player here at VSiN. He's going to be coming up there, and now my objective, it is very clear. Be able to get you guys to the morning lineup on Friday safely, hopefully with a little bit more money in pocket as well. And we're going to be running the fast break, hitting a little bit of everything, because we saw that wild finals game number one with the Indiana Pacers coming back from down 15 in the fourth quarter, finding a way to get the job done. As a matter of fact, our very own Matt Humans, who was on for much of that game, and then I took it home with regards to the live coverage of that. He was just saying that he saw the Thunder at one point when they were up 15 in that fourth quarter, minus 2,500 on the money line, and they did not get the job done, and they will look to in game number two. But I'm just taking a look at this number right now with the total at a 227.5, 228, and the OKC Thunder right now 11 to 11.5 point favorites, and I've been live betting the entirety of the postseason. I just can't turn down getting 11.5 points with the Indiana Pacers. Like, maybe I'd be able to get a little bit of a better number in-game, but this just feels wild, and this just feels a little bit too stark for a game of this magnitude. And with the way that the Pacers have been playing all postseason long, like, I feel like everyone wants to doubt the Indiana Pacers, but here's a big thing with the Pacers that I think a lot of people aren't taking into account. The coach in Rick Carlisle, a guy that's been here, done that, was able to help the Dallas Mavericks be able to pull off an improbable finals win when they were going against the Miami Heat in season number one with they had LeBron James and company. So Rick Carlisle is one of the best in the business. I think that he's going to get his team up. He always finds a way to be able to get the most out of his teams as well. And I mean, with the way that the Pacers have been operating in terms of just the way that they've been able to run good, clean offense in general, I do think that they're going to be able to hone in after the, shall we say, miscues of game number one. When you lose a turnover battle 24-6 and you find a way to be able to win that game outright, it's just absolutely wild out there. And for the OKC Thunder, they should be able to shoot a little bit better than 40% from the floor like they did in game number one. Actually, they were a hair below 40% from the floor. So I see that total of 227.5, 228. I'm going to be looking at the over, and I'm going to be looking at the Pacers there. Now, I don't do a ton of hockey, but I do think that there's just going to be a lot of, shall we say, wear and tear, and a lot of, shall we say, residual effects from what we saw in game number one, that overtime win, which the Edmonton Oilers, they managed to be able to find a way to be able to persevere. I just don't really want the money line here in game number two, because I do think that this is going to be a very even series. I could easily see this going at the minimum of 6 games. If not, it's going to be going a full 7 games. But right now for the Edmonton Oilers, they're between about a minus 120 to a minus 125 money line favorite. That total of 6.5, though, is one that I do want to the under. Now, you always run the risk of having empty net goals, and the Oilers were able to get so many shots on goal against Sergei Bobrovsky. But even though the Oilers were able to get 4 goals, Bobrovsky, I felt like, still played a relatively good game. And Stuart Skinner, I've been doubting this guy all postseason long, and I feel like, you're listening out there, I'm probably not the only one that has been doubting Stuart Skinner here in the postseason, but he's come up big every step of the way. He did so in that entirety of the Vegas series. You saw that in pretty much everything other than game number one against the Dallas Stars, and I mean, he's been really able to play above, shall we say, what we were expecting out of him. And after that first period, we saw things really tighten up in terms of the scoring as well. So I look at that 6.5, and I do like the under there. Now let's get you guys some baseball plays, as all of our best bets, they are brought to you by GBank. And GBank, they're running the trifecta for you right now, because it's a GBank first bet and VSiN trifecta, and it's worth up to $500. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa signature card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through at least $1,000 over at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive a $200 cashback reward on your Visa signature card from GBank. First bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and then VSiN completes this trifecta with a VSiN Pro subscription that runs all the way through October 31st. That's a $200 value, so that gives you a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That is VSIN.com/GBank. This is a one-time promotion that is limited to customers opening up a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to converting existing accounts. Apply today, and terms and conditions, they do apply. this is one game that I've yet to hit that I do need to hit, as this is one that I put into my VSiN write-ups, which are currently up on VSiN.com. We've got an article up every single day. No days off, as our good friend Bill Belichick would always like to say, as we've got ourselves the Walker Texas Rangers going against the Washington Nationals, with it being Mike Soroka for the Nats. Patrick Corbin is on the bump for the Rangers, and who would have thought the Washington Nationals, who are an underdog so often when Patrick Corbin would pitch the last few seasons, they are now underdogs with Patrick Corbin on the other side for the Texas Rangers. Right now, the Rangers are about a minus 117 to a minus 125 favorite. Small plus number here on Washington. I'm seeing them right around about a plus 105 to a plus 112, and that total is 9.5, and I do like the under in this spot, mainly because the Texas Rangers are supplying no offense whatsoever. 3.1 runs per game away from home. And you just take a look at the names on paper, and you would think that this offense would be able to supply something. And I've been a believer for 60-plus games that the Rangers are going to turn around, and maybe they're not going to be what the New York Yankees are or anything like that, but they're going to give you some offense. But you've got Adolis Garcia, Marcus Semien, Jake Berger, Jock Peterson when he's been out there, because we haven't seen a lot of Jock Peterson recently because he's been an abject disaster for the Rangers. Like, all these guys are hitting at 225 or lower. All these guys are hitting for 8 home runs or less. Like, you're just not getting your bang for your buck there. And Corey Seager, since he's come off the injury list, has been less than tremendous. Now, also less than tremendous, Mike Sorokin is north of 550 ERA, but fielding independent is about a full point lower. He's been only giving up about 2 walks per 9 innings. Swing and miss stuff has been fine. He's been able to give you about 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, so that's been adequate. Now, for the Texas Rangers, they certainly have the better bullpen as the Nationals. Yeah, that bullpen is not great. You've had Jackson Rutledge start to experience some regression. He had to pitch in the game on Thursday, so that's less than tremendous. Kyle Finnegan's been solid. Kyle Finnegan, along with Cole Henry, these are guys have been able to give you a sub-3.5 ERA, so shout out to them. But, I mean, other than that, it's not so amazing. Meanwhile, for Robert Garcia and company, they've been okay in the Texas Rangers bullpen, but they're going to be coming off of a just heartbreaking loss against the Tampa Bay Rays, where I am pretty much little league mistakes costed them in that one. And for the Washington Nationals, actually, if you look at the month of May, they were a top 7 team in terms of runs per game. You've been able to have James Wood give you some good wood with 16 home runs. You've had C.J. Abrams do a nice job. He'll supply you with 8 home runs. And even though Nathaniel Lowe, along with someone like Dylan Cruz, Josh Bell, these guys aren't necessarily doing the world's greatest job of being able to get on base, they all have been able to give you at least 8 home runs this season as well. So we've got some relatively good power in this lineup. For the Nationals, I pretty much made this a pick'em. If I was able to get them at a plus number on the money line, I was willing to take a shot. We are getting that, so I do like the Nats on the money line, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot on that total over as well. This is another one that I think is very intriguing, with a total of 9 between the Seattle Mariners and the LA Angels. The Professor, Kyle Hendricks, is looking to not get schooled, and Bryce Miller's on the bump for Seattle. Right now, Seattle, very sizable favorites, between minus 145 to a minus 155. You're going to be finding that number on the Halos right around about a plus 135 or so, and that total is 9, and I'm going to be willing to take a shot on the over. So I set my total more around a 9.3, and with regards to the Angels, being able to get them at a plus 135 or greater, I'm going to be willing to fire in on the money line for Bryce Miller. Throughout his career, always very demonstrative home and road splits. A 3 ERA for his career at home, 4.66 on the road. Start number 2 coming off the injury list. Hasn't been good all season, north of a 5 ERA. For Bryce Miller, always a pretty solid pitcher with regards to command. And for the Seattle Mariners, they certainly have the better bullpen, because for the LA Angels, they continue to be a bottom 4 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Looked like they found something in Robert Stevenson. He lands on the injury list, and now you're looking at some eclectic guys that have been traveled very, very well all throughout their career, like Hunter Strickland, to be able to hold it down in the bullpen. But what you've got for the Angels is a top 4 team in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. Getting back Mike Trout, the fact that he's been able to give you a double-figure amount of bombs has been big. Taylor Ward inning for no on-base percentage whatsoever, but it's giving you 16-plus home runs this season. Logan Ohapi has been able to hit the deep ball. And for the Seattle Mariners, this is a top 12 team in terms of runs per game away from home. Big jumper Cal Raleigh has been dumping in there a bunch of bombs. 23 home runs, so I absolutely love that. I do like the sign over, and I'm going to be willing to take the Halos on the money line. And again, if you, like me, had the Atlanta Braves on the money line on Thursday, you have every right to be salty, and I am going to be fading them here on Friday. Hayden Birdsong on the bump for the Giants, being able to get a plus 115 on the money line with them. Sign me up there. Even though Spencer Schwalbach has been rock solid, you now have a Braves bullpen that is going to be relying upon, gasp, Craig Kimbrell to be able to give you innings. Not a place where you want to be, to say the least, but a place where you want to be is VSiN, because we've got ourselves a locked and loaded lineup starting at 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, 4 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, they do an amazing job there. You got Scott Seidenberg holding it down on a numbers game at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. And then you get Money Moves. That's going to be starting up at noon Eastern time and at 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific time with John Von Tobel and Stormy Bonantoni. So we've got a great day of sports covered from all angles right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.